Yes, and welcome to the Joseph Richards Show. As always, I am your host, the Joseph Richards. So you're probably wondering right now, you're thinking to yourself as you listen to this, has it been a month already? Did I miss something? Is my rent due? Did I forget to pay that? Did I forget my bills this month? Will my electricity be shut off any moment now? Should I go buy candles at this moment? Should I download this episode and burn it to my iTunes file, if that is something that happens? Should I burn it to my iTunes file and buy myself an iPod, have it rushed to my house in the waning moments of electricity, not in the world, but for my specific house or apartment or condo or dorm room or hut with benefits? Should I do that and then download the podcast to my iPhone pod device and plug in? I have headphones already. Of course I have those, because I like to just pretend in my room that I'm a DJ. And I don't plug them in anything. I don't actually spin any records, although I did throw one at my brother once and he was really mad about that. So should I do that and then plug it in, and this show brought to you by Glade Plugins. Glade, plug it in, like a DJ's headphones, if you're not pretending. Glade. So, should I do that, and download it, and then, you know, put the earbuds in my ears, or the skull pie on my ear, the ones that wrap around the skull, what? Skull candy? That's weird. Should I put the skull? Are you sure, Tamara? That's what it is. Okay, I believe you. You are a reanimated zombie. I think I referred to you once as such, but I don't have the time to go back and listen to that. So should I do that? Put them on my head and walk out of my door, the door of my condo, dorm room, flat apartment, hillbilly hick shack, or moonshine shelter? Should I do that and walk, drive, run, skip, hop, carpool, van pool, helicopter pool, laser beam, shoot, transform into a laser beam, have Willy Wonka make me dots flashing on a screen? Should I do that to my nearest store at CVS, preferably Walgreens? They're not a sponsor of the show, but not only can you get pap smears there, but you can get what else you need, which is specifically the reason why you're going to there and listening to this. As I'm helping you, should I go there? You're asking yourself, I know right about now. Should I go there? In addition to other things, I'm sure you're asking yourself, should I go there and buy some candles? And that way I can go, because my computer's been plugged in all day. We don't unplug stuff. Why would we ever unplug anything in our apartment? As a matter of fact, I bought a DVD player, I don't have DVDs, but I just keep it plugged in all the time in case one day I just find a DVD on the sidewalk and I can just come home and have it on a constant loop, the DVD, not the sidewalk, a constant loop in my apartment. So you've got your computer plugged in all the time. However, so that's charged. You're ready to go, but now you've got candles. So you can, I don't know why you need candles to listen to the show, but you do, because you need an ambiance, clearly, an ambiance. So, yes, the answer, I believe, is yes, most likely yes. So, right, so no, it's not a month. You know what? Do all that, feel free. But then when you come back, what you'll realize, if it only takes you 4.5 minutes to get there, and there and back, is that indeed a month has not passed. And in fact, it's only been a few short days since episode 8 of the Joseph Richards Show came out, which was a great episode. I thought we've gotten no feedback about it, but I feel like there is good feedback out there to be had. I feel like the potential feedback we've been getting has been enormously supportive, which is always good for the show and ratings. And I think actually most highly Nielsen rated shows factor in potential viewers, potential feedback. So I think we're doing quite well in that. Tamara is nodding furiously, not nodding, shaking her head furiously. I can never tell if it's nodding or shaking her head. But she's doing one of those or both at the same time while chewing gum. And that somehow is affecting our ratings, which is great because I love having really good ratings. So this is a special episode. So you're probably asking then, why is this a special episode? And this episode is specifically dedicated to my friend, my comrade, my brother in arms, Mark Knopfler. No, it's not dedicated to Mark Knopfler. It's in fact dedicated to Matt Masaryk. I raise a glass of wine right now, metaphorically and literally and figuratively and triumphantly. I raise this glass and I say, Matt, this episode is for you. And then I take a sip of my wine and I put the glass back down on the ground. So this episode is for Matt Masaryk. So those of you who are listening who are not Matt Masaryk, just know that this is, well, it goes out to all of you, but it's really for Matt. So it's not for everybody, but it definitely goes out to all of you, but it's only for Matt. So, I was speaking, so Matt, can I use his last name, Tamara? Is that okay? Matt Masaryk? Is it okay if I – do we have to bleep this out later? That's probably a lot of work, so I probably won't. So from now on, let's just call Matt Masaryk Matt M. Masaryk. So his last name is Masaryk. His middle name is M. It's spelled E-M, interestingly enough. So Matt M. Masaryk. Matt M. Masaryk. Yeah, so this one goes out to you and to all the other viewers except just Matt. So I was speaking with Matt on the phone, and he was telling me, okay, so why all this sort of leading up to this? Because really, I want you to know that if this absolutely falls flat and fails, then Mr. Matt M. Masaryk has a lot to do with it. But if you all really like it, those of you who it's not for but are listening anyway, except it's for all of you, except only Matt, if it goes exceedingly well, then I remember exactly where I was when I came up with this idea. I remember it was very vivid. I was in a park, I was in a parked car in a park. I had just sort of lost control momentarily, drove into a park. It didn't hit anyone, except that small shrubbery, which was okay. No, all the birds flew out before I got in there. So really, the only thing injured was my pride and some poinsettias, which I don't know if poinsettias are shrubbery or if they even grow in nature. Because I've never seen them outside of a church before. So I remember specifically, but that's where I got this idea, unless it's a terrible idea, in which case Matt M. Masaryk came out with it. So Matt M. Masaryk is he's doing schooling things. I shouldn't tell you specifically what he's doing so as not to identify, because I don't know if he wants to be identified. And I know that since the show goes out in 17 different languages to two different countries, Canada and the United States, then I know that a lot of people are going to be not only listening but translating into the other languages and sending it to their families in Denmark, Djibouti, Burundi, most likely Turkmenistan. I know we were recently in the Gambia, and we've also been in the Shaanxi province of someplace in Eastern Asia. or Western Asia if you're in the United States, because it all is Western to us, unless you go the other way, which, of course, some people do. Some people take Delta. Some people take Coke. And that's how you fly. So, right, so speaking of flying and speaking of pilots, I want to talk about an issue of pilots, and I want to talk about it in regards to everyone's spiritual health and spiritual well-being. So we all know that we need pilots in our lives. We know that we don't know where we're headed, really. So we're born, and it's a thing, and it happens, and we're there, and a lot of us don't really know what's going on then. It's hard to have memories, especially fond memories, or any kind of memories, really, at that point. Excuse me. That was definitely not an almost burp. This show is too classy to do that. And if it was, then it was Tamara's fault. So we're born and things are happening, and then next thing we know, it's kindergarten and our Voltron book bag is broken, and we forgot to learn how to tie our shoes, or we're taught and just have completely, this is the first time we're in the real world. It's like with a job, like you go to the stupid ass training and they have the video of here's what you do when, I remember this specifically. I worked at JCPenney in Utah, and when I got there, I just got my master's degree, it was in speech communication. I'm not afraid of that or ashamed. Why would I be afraid of, oh my God, my degree is attacking me. I'd better switch to speed stick. So I was in Utah, and I was working at JCPenney, and I just got my master's degree, and the woman who was my boss was maybe 100 years younger than I was. I think she was 15. I know I had to sign something about her being excused from PE so she could manage me at the office. So she had these training videos, and it was me and like a 13-year-old girl in this training video class, and the woman who was my supervisor / inferior, she gave us two tapes, one on the history of JCPenney, which is pretty amazing. John Cash Penney, James Cash Penney, Jerry Cash Penney, and I don't care. And then Jimmy Cash Penney, and I don't care, which is what it should have been, but nobody can think quickly on their feet all the time, unless you're an ostrich. And I'm not. Although I do often find myself wanting to hide my hole and a head in the ground. So I, my inferior put in this video and we watched the history of JCPenney. And she left. She left the room. So while she left the room, I thought, oh, this will be good for a giggle, a chuckle, a laugh, a chortle, a guffaw, perhaps, fingers crossed, which I actually just did, fingers crossed. So I get up from my seat, probably not appropriate. I don't know protocol at this new job, though. But I got up and I grabbed the other videotape and I hid it in the room in a drawer because I thought, why not? I am stuck here in JCPenney hell, and I'm going to at least laugh to myself. So the 13-year-old girl, she kind of chuckled. So anyway, Youngin comes back, and the film, the fascinating film of Geraldine Cash Penney, is over, and I've learned amazing things about wardrobes and carriages and the invention of the steam engine and Gutenberg and everything amazing and belt buckles. So she comes in and she's like, okay, well, it's time for the second video. Oh, what? Where is the video? Where is the video? And so I speak up and I say, oh, didn't you say you said you were going to leave it in your office and then just bring it back when this one was over. Isn't that what you said? And she pauses for a moment and says, did I? Okay. Well, let me just go back and get it. So, okay. Well, you know what? Judge me if you will, but whatever. Try working at JCPenney as a 26-year-old, anything, man, woman, alien, trisexual, transsexual, in intersexed person, non-sexed, asexual. Try working there as any kind of unit of sentient being. Not that I'm even claiming sentience at all. Maybe paragraphs. I'm good with those. But try working there and not doing anything you can to stop from taking a Docker's wallet and slowly shoving it into your eye socket until, at the very least, you sever any kind of nerve that feels emotion or pain or anything. And then you just spend your life on a respirator, and probably watching reruns of the J.C. Penney Cash Marathon on E!, which is highly rated these days. Not as highly rated as the show, though. We have more potential listeners, so that's... And, you know what? Listeners and viewers are ranked similarly, so... And people have more ears than they have more eyes. People are more likely to lose an eye than they are an ear, and that's a statistic from the Ear, Nose, and Throat convention that I went to recently. They hate the optometrist, though, so it could have been biased. But I'll just, you know, keep an eye out to see if I hear anything about any bias in that study. So then she leaves the room and I pull the video out of the hiding space, put it back on the table. She comes back. She says, I couldn't find it in my office. And I was like, oh, there it is right there. There's the video. She said, what? And I said, yeah, didn't you say you were just going to leave it here? So when we're done with the first one, you could just go ahead and put it, you know, get it ready for us. And she just looked at us and said, y'all are crazy. So that's what I was doing. We all have those experiences where we don't really know what's happening in our lives. We're born, but who knows where it's going to lead? I mean, we could be managing someone younger than us, and we could be intellectually inferior. Not that I'm saying she was, because clearly she was, but I would never say that. I would never actually say that to her at all or to anyone else who wasn't listening. Because I don't want to waste my time with that. We find ourselves, maybe we're doing that. Maybe we're the person on the other end of the spectrum, the person being bossed around constantly by people who don't understand. Or maybe we're in the middle. Maybe we're our own bosses. Maybe we're bad to ourselves. Maybe we're good to ourselves. No one can tell. But we all need a pilot. And so in thinking about being a pilot, we think of some of the more famous pilots out there, Orville and Redenbacher Wright. We think about John Travolta. We think about the pilot program. We think about IBM, the IBM pilot. We think about the Palm pilot, which Sarah Palin uses frequently to get updates about her speeches. And that joke isn't old. Not old at all. Everybody, if Robin Williams, I don't even want to talk about Robin Williams right now because I don't know him. I think he's incredibly funny. And just because there was one thing that I wanted to make fun of doesn't mean that I should. And that's how I grow. And I grow because I'm sort of my own pilot now. But a lot of people don't feel the maturity to be their own pilot. And they need to look to these other pilots. And one of them is God. One of them that people look to is God as the pilot. So we've got several things going on here. And so what I want to talk about today for you, Matt, and those of you who might be listening who shouldn't be, but I welcome you and am really glad that you're here. But I only want Matt to hear this. But you can all listen and should. And so I want to talk about bumper stickers and the bumper stickers in particular that create a real philosophical dilemma. So here we go. People in society who are Christians, they say things like, you need to put God first. Now, other people say this. People who are chivalrous, for instance. Oh, put God first. You know, don't serve me first. Please, God, what do you want? You're having carrots again. That's fine. God always gets carrots because he's afraid that his eyesight will go, and if his eyesight goes, then he's not going to be able to see who's naughty and nice, and bring around the appropriate presents for his son's birthday. Which, are you, God, are you still mad? You're still mad that you have to give us presents for your son being born. Oh, but I see. Oh, I get it. So you not only give us presents, but you gave us futures. Because not only was your son born, which was a gift as well, but then he died, and that gives us a future. That's very clever. I think, yeah, I think God will, I think he's done with the drinking. I don't think he wants another Jim Beam. You have problems with Beams, don't you? God, you have issues with Beams, probably a bad history. God, do not get cross with me. You all saw that coming. I don't care. It's still funny to me. So God, you know, put God first. These people say put God first. And sometimes they saying it to you incessantly and driving you into youth group and church and giving you tracts and all sorts of things. Tracts, if you don't know, are little Christian books that you can also often find at truck stops. And they tell you things. Let's see. I have one here. I don't have it right with me, so I won't be able to tell you about that one specifically, but anyway, they're tracks and they're things. So sometimes in addition to constantly telling you, put God first, God loves you, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, I actually am dying a little inside right now, talking to you, don't masturbate, don't eat fish on Sundays, don't drive a car off a cliff without helicopter wings, don't paint the nude, don't paint nudes, don't use your penis as a paintbrush, dipping it in different colors. Don't watch television on a Saturday afternoon unless you're watching Saturday Night Football. Don't do any of those things, but be sure that you put God first. So they say this, and they say it, and they seem to never tire of it. Which is good because we all need to hear this, except we don't. And so sometimes they decide, okay, well, they try to squeeze every little moment of that into a day. So I'm talking and I'm talking to people, but I'm not talking when I'm driving. I mean, I am. I'm on the phone with people. I'm saying, hey, have you accepted God as your Savior yet? No. Well, I still don't really want to switch plans. I'm actually pretty happy with what I've got right now. But you might want to switch plans for the afterlife. Really? Satan gives you 3 cents a minute on long distance calls. Well, let me get back to you. So they're doing that, and of course they're talking to people there, but they're not talking to the people around them. There are other people in cars, and we don't have intercoms, which I wanted to invent in high school in my physical science class. We all had to come up with an invention. My friend Jason P. Addison came up with, to protect his identity, came up with a steam-powered car. This was in 1996, so that was it was apropos, and you can see that really just sort of picked up steam, and if you will, and I've seen at least none of them on the road today, but I think it was still a really good idea back in the 1600s. So he invented that. And I wanted to invent a sort of a walkie-talkie thing where every car would come equipped with a walkie-talkie and you could speak to the other drivers. I guess this is not an invention either. But every car would have some kind of intercom system and they'd all be connected. And you could say, hey, I envisioned it for good. This is me, my idiot self in ninth grade. I said, oh, yeah. So what you could do with this is you could say, excuse me, I need to get over here. May I get over? And the person would, of course, say yes. But at that point, I'd never been to New York. And if I had been, I would have known what an awfully terrible idea that would have been. But I still think we should do it. So what I came up with actually was what you now know as TiVo. I called it the TVCR. So your TV and your VCR are combined, and they start to know what programs you want, and they record them when you're not there. And of course, it's TiVo, and I should have patented this when I was in ninth grade, and I'm still mad about it. But still, because of me and because of me not getting around to my ideas, these people, especially Christians, are in their cars not talking to other people who are in their cars. So what do? To let people know to put God first, they have bumper stickers. And one of these bumper stickers is, God is my pilot. That's one of them. That's a real thing. Now there's another one. God is my co-pilot. And I want to get back to that in just a second. So there's God is my pilot. God is my co-pilot. And then there's also dog is my pilot. Dog is my co-pilot. So what we have here are some very interesting life choices. They're all moronic life choices, to be sure, except I don't want to judge, except I do, but I really don't, because they're people's choices. So if you want to put these on your car, that's fine. If you want to put them on your face, that's fine. Just don't do it on a Sunday, because that's one of the commandments. No bumper stickers on your face on a Sunday. Especially if the sundae has cherries and nuts and whipped cream, because you don't want that on your bottom on Sunday as well. These bumper stickers. So God is my pilot. God is my co-pilot. Dog is my pilot. Dog is my co-pilot. So there are a couple of things that really stand out to me about this. One, and I wanted to take the first two first. God is my pilot. God is my co-pilot. Okay, God is my pilot. That's fine. So I have chosen to follow something that most likely doesn't exist, as absolutely unprovable. And I want to follow the person who had Jonah. Jonah, God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, I don't think so. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, I don't think so. So God's like, you need to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm going to get on this boat and go in the opposite direction because God won't be able to find me. Little did Jonah know, and a lot of people in the Bible didn't know this, God eats carrots every day, and especially every time he goes out to a restaurant. When you're out at a restaurant having crab cakes or salmon confit or duck stew, God is eating carrots. So that he made, by the way. These are organic. Clearly, I can tell because I actually just made them grow in the kitchen, and you picked them for me because you picked carrots. Clearly, I want this carrot. I picked this carrot. So Jonah didn't know this at the time, of course, because the biblical people were a little more ignorant than us, but a little less ignorant than the United States. So they. I'm just kidding. Not the United States, but people living in the United States who are people who are Americans, we call them, U.S. Americans. So anyway, I'm just kidding. So Jonah doesn't know this. So he's on the boat, and then all of a sudden God sends a storm, and Jonah's like, why is there an X-Man here? And Storm's like, oh, no, you didn't, because I'm not an X-Man. I was never a man. I am a woman, and actually I've been meaning to ask Professor Charles Chuck Xavier, which he can go Chuck himself, I've been meaning to ask him to change the name to X-People. And Jonah cried back, that sounds weird too, X-People, so like, well, you're no longer people. Why don't you just call it the Mutant League, or the Mutant Coalition Front, or the Mutants United, or the Mutant Team, or Storm and the Go-Getters, or Do Good Society, but with powers that come from genetic mutations. And Storm said, look, forget it. I'm here to rock the boat. And she did. And then once she was done singing Aretha Franklin songs, not that she has to sing Aretha Franklin songs. That's not what I'm saying. She could sing any songs that she wanted to sing, but she rocked the boat and then she left. And then God decided that that didn't go very well. And he still didn't think that Jonah had had gotten the message. So then he sends thunder, and he makes thunder, and he makes lightning, and it's shooting and sounding and clapping and cheering and jeering. And then he makes waves go, whoa, and the boat's going crazy. And the sailors are like, what the hell is happening? What is happening? This is your fault, Jonah. You're running from God. And he's like, of course I am. And so they throw him overboard. They pick him up and they throw him overboard. And he hits Goldie Hawn as he's down there. And neither of them can remember what they're doing. But fortunately, Kurt Russell comes and gets Goldie Hawn. And Jonah's like, oh, this is great. And Kurt Russell was going to come back and get Jonah. But Jonah was swallowed by a giant fish, not a whale, a giant fish. And a whale, after all, is a mammal because whales have mammary glands. They have breasts. Which is incredible to think about. And I'm sure people have thought about that before, so I'm not even going to go into it right now. So then, anyway, Jonah was hanging out in there, and he's like, oh, man, this sucks. At first it was fine, but then it wasn't fine anymore. So he lit a fire in the giant fish's belly and then prayed while he was in there. And God's like, okay, yeah, I'll let you out, but... But before God could do that, the smoke got into the giant fish's lungs, and the giant fish threw Jonah up onto the land. And Jonah's like, okay, well, here I am. Well, you know what? Now that I've done this, and he believed God did it, but God was just sort of snickering because he knew he didn't do it. He knew it was sort of accidental. So Jonah goes to Nineveh. And he says, all right, Ninevites, Nanavites, whatever you are, believe in God, repent, change your wicked ways. And the Ninevites said, oh, you know what? That's actually a really good idea. That is perfect. We will repent. We'll change our wicked ways. And we will, let's do that. And Jonah was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, it can't be that easy. And he was mad. He was angry. So he stormed out of town. And he was kicking dust and he was crying a little bit and just harumphing and harumphing. And he goes and he says, Sandy, it's a really hot day and the sun is beating down and the daughter too. And the whole family is really getting into it. And he finally gets away from them. But then the brightest star in our galaxy, the one that's closest to us, the sun, S-U-N, that warms us, it was really warm as well, because of course it was in a bet with the wind, and it was the sun's turn. So Jonah's like, oh my God, it's so hot. And God's like, hey, cool. That's cool, man. Check it out. So Jonah was lying down and God made a bush grow up right above Jonah and shielded him. And Jonah's like, oh, this is great. Oh, there's shade. And it was really nice. And Jonah just started relaxing and he pulled out his pocket copy of the Ten Commandments, was sort of reading them. That one, I like that one. That one, don't eat farm animals after dusk. I guess I haven't really been paying attention to that one as much. Don't stick a pen up your nose. They haven't invented pens yet, but I'm sure that'll be relevant one day. Probably they meant quill, but I don't even know if we have quills yet. What do we use? Probably a chisel. Don't stick a chisel up your nose. But this is probably a lightning O, because God didn't type it. He shot it with lightning. I'm pretty sure that's how he wrote it. So this is the lightning O, and not to be confused with the breakfast cereal that the Romans eat every morning to win the chariot races. So he's just kind of hanging about reading that, trying to be a better human, a better Godian, because they didn't have Christ back then. They had God, so he was a Godian. Forget it. So he was a Godian, and from Massachusetts, apparently. I said it! He was a Godian. So he was a Godian. And God's like, all right, time's up. And it kills the bush. Kills the bush. And Jonah's like, what? Are you kidding me? And stands up and says, God, are you kidding me? And God says, see, look, I made that bush. I made it for you, I made it nice, but I can kill it. I am in control. His lesson, God's lesson was, I am a capricious asshole. I will do whatever I want to you at any time. So people say God is my pilot, and they want this person leading them. But some people, I think, still want him leading them, but don't want to feel like they're God-whipped. Don't want people to know that they're God-whipped. Like, oh... Why you gotta leave? Why can't you hang out at this party? Oh, gotta go home to God. Of course. God calls. you never hang out with us anymore. You're always home with God and God this. And on Sunday, you're hanging out with God and you never put pencils up your nose anymore, which is weird because I know the commandment said pens and I don't think it was a lightning O. So I don't even know where you went off on that tangent, but I don't recognize you anymore. I don't know. And it's not just the ski mask that you're always wearing. I just don't recognize you inside. I don't recognize who you are. I don't recognize your actions. I don't recognize the words that you're saying. I don't recognize anything about you. So these people don't want to hear that. They're tired of hearing that. So they invented God as my co-pilot when he is not. He clearly is still their pilot. Because if you have God in the cockpit, he is going to take control. He made the controls. He made a cockpit. He made the plane. He made Orville Redenbacher and Wilbur Wright. He made them both and made them invent flying. And he made Leonardo DiCaprio come up with sketches of an airplane back in the Renaissance. And he, you know, he's going to be in there. So they sort of secretly know, oh, God is really my pilot, because anytime he's in here, he's going to, of course he's going to be the pilot. Nobody says God is my flight attendant. No, because God would never take a flight attendant role unless he needed to get mileage points because his Amex has sort of been suspended for some shady transactions as of late, you know, buying Jesus' soul back out of hell, that kind of thing, because he had to go there first to take care of some stuff. Actually, he went there. He was being punished. He was following Perseus. But then he got hooked on the music. So he stayed for a little bit, and then God had to go down. And yeah, the rest is made up history. So, they're like, God, oh, God is my co-pilot. Of course, something. And those people die in fiery automobile crashes. And then the people that say dog is any kind of pilot really aren't worth the time of day. So Matt and the rest of you who shouldn't have been listening, but I'm glad that you were, except I really only wanted Matt to. That's what I think. I think that's really the point of all of this. So as always, I am your host, Joseph Richards. Feel free to send any comments, questions, suggestions, or scanned copies of signed autographed baseballs to thejosephrichardsshow@gmail.com. That's thejosephrichardsshow@gmail.com. Or be sure to follow @JoeRichardsShow on Twitter. Or you can also follow my personal account, Mental MacGyver on Twitter. And that's MentalMacGyver. That's Mental MacGyver. Thank you.
1, 2, 3, it's a Joseph Richards show. 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 You'll never know where he'll go. It's a Joseph Richards show. Joseph Richards show.